One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 57, Book 129 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
Get the picture. If you're interested in continuing your studies in algebra, English, American history, psychology, or any other high school and college courses, there's a wonderful opportunity waiting for you. USAFI now offers courses not only by correspondence, but also on film. Yes, that's right. You can now continue your education through USAFI's telecourses. These courses are offered in series of from 12 to 20 half-hour films and are presented by well-qualified high school and college teachers from Michigan State and Pennsylvania State Universities, the University of Wisconsin, and the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Take advantage of this tremendous opportunity. See your education officer for details, then enroll with USAFI. And let a telecourse be your guide.
Today, an eight-car collision. Betty Barber, ducking through the hedge between her house and the Barber family home next door on a cold and foggy March evening, stops suddenly with a little feeling of alarm as she hears from the direction of 25th Avenue the ominous sounds of sirens.
Mm.
She feels her way across the upper terrace through one of those swirling fogs which helped to make San Francisco famous. Now, as she stumbles on the back steps, she finds the back door opening.
Henry?
Oh, hi, Mother Barber.
Oh, Betty.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Come in.
Oh, this is one of the worst, isn't it?
Sharon says you found out Father Barber had the car.
Isn't it awful? I thought he'd gone for a walk. But then when he didn't get home on time, we looked in the garage and, well, come on in the breakfast room. There's coffee.
I'm not sure coffee's good for me.
Well, I'll make some tea.
No, nothing. I'll just sit down.
Mary Lou said you weren't feeling too well today.
Oh, I'm all right, Mother Barber. Sort of squeamish, that's all.
How much weight have you lost?
Listen, that's on Seacliff Drive.
It does sound like it. Shh. But let's go in the front room and look out the window.
Grandmother?
We're coming. What is it, Hank?
Now, look, don't get upset. Grandfather had a smash-up in his car, but he's fine.
Oh, take it easy, Dad.
Henry.
Oh, a bang or two, that's all, Fanny.
Hank, I've got him. I think he should lie down on the Davenport.
I am going upstairs.
Grandmother, you go ahead.
Officer.
Yes, Mr. Barber.
Will you wait in the library a moment? Betty, take him to the library, will you?
Yes, of course.
What's your name, officer?
Klempert. Jack J. Klempert.
This way, Mr. Klempert.
I asked him to wait and question Dad after we get him quieted down. Excuse me, I'll go on up.
In here, Mr. Klempert.
Thank you.
I'm sure Jack started to introduce me. He's my husband. I'm Betty Barber. We live right next door.
Oh, sure. I've known of you folks for years. You've got six beautiful daughters.
We do have six girls.
Yeah, I remember when your triplets were posing, you know, modeling. Used to see their pictures in all the magazines.
Sit here, officer. And for goodness sake, tell me what happened to Father Barber.
Well, didn't so much happen to him as to other people. It was an eight-car collision.
Eight?
Yes'm. As far as I can find out, this old gentleman and his baby blue station wagon come bowling along Camino del Mar and didn't see the light, ran it, and caromed around, hitting seven cars all together.
Oh.
Fender, bumper, bumper, fender, crash, bang, collapse.
Oh.
Gee, you never saw such a shambles. Hey, how old is he, anyhow? Can he see when it isn't foggy? How old is the old man?
Old? I don't think he keeps track anymore.
You're his daughter-in-law?
Yes.
And you don't know how old he is?
Well, I suppose I could actually figure it out. Why don't you ask my husband?
I did. He changed the subject. Where was the old gentleman headed for in all this fog?
We haven't the faintest idea, officer. At least we thought he was out walking.
He must have had some reason to be driving in a fog like this. One of the worst I ever saw.
The last anybody heard, he'd gone for a walk. That's all I know.
Where would he go?
Oh, this is a big family, and he has lots of relatives in the houses around here. Almost all of us live right here in Seacliff, except Margaret. She married Sidney Lawrence, and they live in Pebble Beach.
Well, it's not as bad as I feared.
This is Mrs. Barber, Officer Jack Klempert, Mother Barber.
Don't get up. He has a bump on his forehead and one on his elbow, and the door handle caught his knee, but Hank says mostly he's shaken up, suffering from mild shock. My grandson is a doctor in the medical corps, Mr. Klemperd.
Well, Mr. Barber couldn't find his driver's license, and I've been trying to find out how old he is.
Driver's license? Oh, well, I can find it. Betty, take Mr. Klemperd up to the bedroom. Mr. Barber's license is down in the basement. He says he left it on a shelf when he changed his gardening clothes.
And he is how old?
Come along, officer. I'll take you upstairs.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Let's take a moment to think of the world we live in, of just how small it really is. This being the age of science and speed, imagine that you're about to take a fast trip to the kingdom of Saudi Arabia in the Middle East. You'll be transferred literally into another world, not only geographically, but also religiously. For the most part, it is a barren desert of terrifically hot days and equally cold nights. But it is a land rich with its yield of oil, so vital to the lifeline of American industry and industry the world over. As for religion, most of the people of the Middle East are Muslims, as followers of Islam are called. In a sense, Islam is more than just a religion. It's the basis of the society, law, and culture of its followers, some 400 million in number throughout the world. The Muslims take their religion seriously, and a man praying, whether in a mosque, the field, desert, or in his home, is a common sight. So do not stare if you see one at prayer, and don't take pictures of their religious ceremonies without permission. Remember, too, that they are not permitted to smoke or drink alcoholic beverages. So do not offer them. And if you would stay on safe ground, don't discuss politics, religion, or women with Muslims. Respect their laws and customs, for you are the outsider, the foreigner. We want the friendship of Saudi Arabia, but remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
Father Barber, propped up against the pillows in the big double bed, is wearing a patch on his forehead, bandages on elbow and his left knee. His grandson, Hank, is saying...
Gosh, I'm afraid you're going to have a black eye, too, Grandfather.
Yeah.
Oh, you here, Uncle Jack? You must have hit the steering wheel with your right eye. Well, think of it, all that shambles, nobody else hurt at all.
Here's Mr. Klemperd.
Yeah.
Oh, come in, officer.
Thank you.
Hank, I don't know if I'm well enough to answer many questions.
I think you'd better, Grandfather, while the details are fresh in your mind.
Say, I've been asking people, how old are you, Mr. Barber?
Why don't we go out, Hank? You won't need us.
No, thanks. Go along.
Well, I'd better stay, Aunt Betty.
Where is family?
She went down to the basement to try to find your driver's license.
Yeah.
I'll be downstairs if you need me.
You feeling all right now, Betty?
Oh, I'm fine.
Looks kind of pale.
May I sit down?
Oh, I beg your pardon. Here, we'll pull this chair up beside the bed.
There I sat with the seat straps dangling and forgot to buckle them.
Of the seven cars you hit, my partner said five of them had seat belts buckled. Probably why the accident wasn't worse. Now then, how old are you, Mr. Barber?
Excuse me, Jack. I wonder if I could have a glass of water. I'm suddenly dry as cotton.
I'll get it.
Here's your license, Henry.
I'll take it, madam. I want to read it and see how old he is.
It's on there. It's on there.
You don't look it.
I work in the sunshine in my garden. Walk a lot.
How did you happen to take the car? We thought you were walking this afternoon.
Henry, Jack, leave me alone with the officer. Hank, you too. All of you. Out a minute.
Must we?
Are you sure you don't want me, Dan? Here's your water, Grandfather, but I'll wait in the hall.
Thank you. Yeah, and close the door. Now then, I was proceeding down 25th Avenue, having been to the market, and I realized I was lost. So I lowered my speed to 5 miles an hour, or down so low that the car bucked. Then I found myself on Camino del Mar and discovered I was running a red light after it was too late to stop. Decided to push through, hit the first fender, then the second, swerved to avoid the third, hit that, backed up, hit another. And the rest is somewhat confused in my mind. I'm sorry I didn't have my driver's license. I left it downstairs when I changed my gardening clothes.
You're taking the blame for this?
I don't see what else I can do. I ran the red light and hit all those cars.
I doubt if you were going any 5 miles an hour.
Well, I might have hurried a little toward the last. I was eager to get home. We're going to have a surprise party here tonight, and I'm the only one who knows it. Any further questions, officer?
A good many. We'll start at the beginning and work on through.
Yeah, make it quick. I've got to get ready. Some of my family are arriving unexpectedly from quite some distance away.
more of the Barbers in just a moment.
If I cut in for a few moments, fellas, I hope it won't start an argument. But if you'd like to get into an argument that will pay off 9 times out of 10, you just bet someone that the Treasury Department has its own Navy. Well, that happens to be true. It's a fact that the United States Coast Guard is an agency of the Treasury Department and has the job of seeing to it that any activity involving the coastal waters of our country is strictly within the law. The Coast Guard has many responsibilities to keep it busy. It assists ships and aircraft in distress, protects game, seal, and otter fisheries in Alaska, and maintains the International Ice Patrol in the North Atlantic. It operates lighthouses, light ships, beacons, and other aids to navigation, and removes wrecks and other floating dangers. In addition, the Coast Guard enforces laws and regulations relating to customs, navigation, neutrality, immigration, and quarantine. All peacetime jobs under the supervision of the Treasury Department. During wartime, however, the Coast Guard is attached to the United States Navy and acts directly under that branch of our military service. But whether it operates under the Treasury Department or the United States Navy, the Coast Guard is a mighty bulwark in the protection and defense of our country.
Hank, sitting on the stair railing, one leg dangling, is glancing through a magazine, waiting for the officer to finish questioning Father Barber, when from the library...
Hey!
Oh, Betty, watch out!
I'll be all right.
What is it, Uncle Jack?
Come on down here to the library.
Coming. Hey, what's going on?
I'll be all right, Jack.
Holy cow, Hank, Betty keeled over.
I did not. I just felt a little tiny bit faint.
Take your pulse. She was sitting here in the Davenport talking, and she started to topple.
Betty Carter Barber, don't tell me you're... Oh, no! No, it's nothing of the sort, Mother Barber. Oh, golly, no.
Honey? Honey?
Yes, Henry?
Visitors coming. Visitors coming. Go to the front door.
Oh, for goodness sake, what an afternoon. Yes, I'm coming. Jack, you'd better take her home. There's going to be a lot of excitement. Why, Margaret, what a wonderful surprise.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 57, Book 129, The Truth About Andy. One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.